fam, welcome back to the greatest Houston-based podcast in the world, the Weekly D Podcast. I'm your host, Danny G, and today we're joined by a rapper, musician, a dancer. He does it all. Please allow me to introduce you to Elbiro himself, Mr. Byron Bandana.
Yes, sir.
What's up, man?
What's the word?
How you been?
Man, I'm good, my boy. You know, cool, man.
Hell yeah, man. That's good to hear. That's good to hear. So yes, let's get right into it. I know of you because of your brother and because of your music.
For sure.
This is our first time meeting, so it's going to be a little interesting. You know, like I said before the show, I like to get to know you and like to see how your brain ticks, what you think about the world, and what inspires you. So with that being said, Byron Bandana, where did your name come from?
So basically, before I start growing my hair out, I always had a bandana on, like, always. No matter where I went, it was a bandana on, you feel me? And I went by the name Byron B for a very long time. But nobody knew what the B stand for. Mm-hmm. And instead of giving the motherfuckers my last name, you know, I told them Byron Bandana, you feel me? But I really, you know what I'm saying, go by Elbiro, because that's just what everybody call me, you feel me? Like,
where did that come from? Because every time I hear that, I think of The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Like with Bart, you know, he tags the wall with Elbarto everywhere. So where did Elbiro come from?
So basically, as you know, we're from a town where it's mostly populated with Hispanics and Blacks, you feel me? And from the area I grew up with, there was nothing but Hispanics. So you won't be considered Black. You'll be considered Black. You feel me? And shit, I actually know Spanish. So.
Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know that.
So I be, you know what I'm saying? So it's just a Elbiro thing. You feel me?
Yeah. No, I get that. I get that. Because especially like me being Hispanic and Mexican, like I know we like to give everyone nicknames. Everyone gets a nickname right off the bat. Even if it's the first time we met you, you automatically have a nickname. That's how you know we accept the entire community.
Yeah, nah, for sure. Yeah, man, I'm talking about my neighbor's neighbor. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they know me by Elbiro for sure.
Elbiro from Twin Cities.
Yeah, you dig what I'm saying?
Hell yeah, man. So let's get into it. Like, what, you're a rapper, you're a musician. What or how did you spark an interest in wanting to do music?
Okay, so it first initially started back in like 2000, between 2009 and 2000, maybe 2010 and 2013, in between there.
Okay.
Because as you know, CA was already doing music, so he was the first dude I knew from our city that we grew up with that was actually doing music.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't the one that got me into it, but he was the first that I seen started doing it. And I started hanging, you know, with Spaceling and O'Shea. And they actually had a group called 10-2. I don't know if you ever knew that. They had a group called 10-2. Yeah, man, them boys was really talented. And it, like, got me to, like, damn. If my brothers can do it, I know I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't get me wrong. I give myself probably, like, a 6 out of 10 when I first started. I wasn't the best at what I was doing. But I was consistent. So if it wasn't my music that was showing that I was destined for it, for shit show, it was my work ethic. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. And that's one thing you can definitely hear in your music. Because like I said, never met you, but I've known about you for a while. And I've actually been listening to like your old stuff leading up to this. Like, I just, you know, like to refresh myself on the guests we're about to have on. And you can definitely see like how your music has evolved from, like, all the recorded music, right? Because I'm sure you made a lot of music before that.
Yeah. It's
not easy to find nowadays. But, like, just being able to hear that evolution, you can tell that, like, your work ethic has allowed you to really, like, finesse that craft. Because, I mean, like, how do I explain it? I don't know how to explain it. Like, you can really hear the difference from day one to now. Like, you, especially, I want to say, like, the past 2-3 years, you really had like this shift where you stepped up a level when it came to your music. And I was like, the other day I was listening to to your latest drop, and I was like, damn, like he really like picked it up over the past. Yeah.
Because one thing I tell everybody, especially when I talk to artists that's like just starting, mm-hmm. I always tell them, like, it's cool to have you by 1-3 songs, but you want to keep practicing on your music and practicing on your craft, because the more you practice, the better you get. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Everybody always tell you, you got to find your own sound. And how can you find your own sound if you don't record anything? You will never know what you sound like. So it's best to always tap in and get some recording in. You know what I'm saying? I'm very versatile. So it's like, I do 3-4 songs of this genre, then backdoor and do 3-4 songs of that genre. And I just keep practicing them until I get at least 2-3 songs out of all those songs that I do that I like. And then I'll be like, okay, these are the ones that I'm going to put out. So in total, like now, as I probably got over like 120 songs recorded.
Damn.
Yeah, bro.
Holy shit.
I literally record every day.
Uh-huh. And like, how do you come up with writing these songs? Like, is it a quick process? Is it something where you just catch a beat and you're like, all right, I got something for that? Or
I don't write.
You don't write just straight off the dome?
I started off writing, but when I start recording myself, yeah, I don't write anymore.
Okay, so do you do like multiple versions of the same song? Like just adding different bars into it, or
so basically, when I clock in, you know, I got the beat already set up. I at least let the beat run like 3-4 times. As soon as I get done doing that, I kind of like figure out what the topic is that I want to rap about, and I try to do my best to stay on that topic, and because it's a lot of shit that go in my head, so all it takes is for me to hear the beat and hear how I want to say it. And once I do that, it's pretty much a done deal.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, nice. Kind of like Wayne used to, where he would just hear the beat a couple times and just freestyle it.
Yep, that's what I learned from.
That's what's up. Well, I'm sure he was a huge influence. I mean, the Carter 5 drop.
Yeah.
Restarting music. Shit, that's right. I haven't thought about that in a while, dude. I remember when the Carter 2, 3, and 4 dropped, everyone was all over it. Around the time I graduated, the Carter 5 drop, and Wayne was like the shit, man.
And it's crazy because the Wayne I study is the Carter 3, the Sorry I Can't Wait, and the Dedication 4, I think.
Yeah.
Like them Waynes right there, that Wayne and that specific area is the Wayne that I listen to and I like learn from 9 times out of 10.
Okay, so would you say he's a big influence? Like he?
Oh yeah, he's my top one. Like he's number one in my book.
Damn, it's like that.
Yeah.
Who's number two?
If we talking all time, I'm giving it to M, Wayne and M. They're my top two influencers.
Mm-hmm.
My Mount Rushmore would be Wayne, M, DMX, Mike Jack. Damn, who else did I say? And I kind of want, and then Mo 3.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Nice. That's a hell of a fucking Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Now, besides rap, like, what other music do you feel influenced your sound now?
R&B for sure. Nobody knows this. It's probably going to be my first time ever saying this. Before I started doing music, I always wanted to sing. Okay. But I can't sing, you feel me? So it's like, it's not something that I was going to be able to do unless I took lessons for it. So that's what made me kind of like push towards rap. Because it was like, I can't sing, but what I'm saying could also be a rap. So why not try to like mix both of them, like kind of balance it out kind of. So, and that's kind of what like, R&B for sure though, like, R&B is like most likely one of my main playlists. I sit in my car, throw some 95 old school love jams, R&B jams, and Jodeci, play some Avant. Yeah, you feel me? Play some Jagged Edge, play some Boys to Men. Like I got an old soul. So
man, you trying to get someone pregnant on your car on your car ride to work, huh?
Yeah, man.
See, I guess that's what keeps you chill all the time, huh? Just listening to just good soulful music.
Yeah, because, you know, I don't care what nobody say. Music is like the refreshness of everybody's soul. And you can't constantly always listen to rap music, because rap music is always, nowadays, hip-hop is so, what's the word I'm looking for?
Saturated?
And so, like, damn, what's the word? Like, so amped up. Like, every song you listen to.
Typed up. Like, yeah. like club music.
And, like, street music. Like, every time you listen to something, it got something to do with somebody retaliating on somebody. And it's like, you know what I'm saying? At the age I'm at, I'm 28, finna be 30 years old. You feel me? Like, when we was younger, it's cool. But now I'm at an age to where you got to find out what it is you're looking for in life and set your achievements and your goals and thrive for it. You feel me? So it's like, you got to listen for some stuff that's going to mellow you down. You know what I'm saying? And you can't constantly listen to hip-hop music all day, because it'll fry your brain.
I'll make you want to shoot someone by the time you get to it. Yeah. Dude, I remember I used to work this job a couple years ago. I hated that job, man. So I swear, like, every Friday, it was always, you know, like, hype music, right? But my hype music was listening to fucking Biggie, you know, Nas, Wu-Tang Clan, you know, fucking Snoop Dogg. So by the time I got to work, man, I was like, fuck it. Like, I'm ready to work. I'd be way too fucking hype, dude. I'd be way too Friday. No, but that's what's up, man. Because I genuinely feel like what you said, right? Music affects you so much. Especially, I don't know if you know this, but they recently did a study, and they found out that certain frequencies actually really do affect your mood. See? So, like, certain songs, certain BPMs, they'll really, like, fuck with your head. And it's just the way humans are wired to absorb these frequencies. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's true, right? Because when you go to the gym, you listen to the hyped up music. You know, some people listen to angry white people music. You listen to a bunch of rock, and you're just ready to rip someone's head off. You know, that makes sense. Do you listen to anything other than, like, hip hop and soul? Like, what other kinds of music do you listen to?
So, when I was younger, I used to listen to, like, a lot of, I don't know, I guess pop. Like, okay. I would listen to, like, a lot of Fall Out Boy, a lot of Chris Daughtry, a lot of Linkin Park. My Chemical Romance, Paramore. I was listening to, like, but that's
when I was into the angry white people music.
Yeah, that's when I was younger, though. I don't too much really listen to it now. So, but back then, because normally now all I listen to is me. Like, I don't cut on the radio. I don't really play nobody else's music. I really listen to myself more than anything, so I can learn from what I do like and what I don't like for my music. So I kind of like,
bro, that's wild.
Yeah, you're
the first person I've ever heard that, or probably one of the first people that I'll ever admit that you listen to yourself. Because a lot of people are like, no, I can't stand listening to my music or this and that. But you know damn well they're making music that they like, and that's why they make it. But no, I like that you do that. And I like that you listen to it and like kind of like judge yourself on what you did. Because it's
because I'm like my biggest critic. Like I said, I got over like 120 songs, right? And it's like, I'm already knowing that every song that I make is going to be a hit. But I know at least one of them songs is going to become a hit. So it's like, listen to the songs, find out which one is the better version or which one is the best version of myself. Learn from it, find out what I can to make all my other songs more original like that. And then go with the flow. And that's pretty much what I did. So when I dropped Heart on Fire, that album there initially had like almost 50 to 60 songs.
Damn.
Yeah, bro.
How do you cut it down? I mean, from that much to 10?
I just figure out the ones that I really want people to listen to and really want people to understand who I am. And I put it on there. You feel me? And to be honest, that album, coming from a dude that's not signed to anyone, you know, no paid promotions, no marketing, I hit 20K easily.
Hey, that's what's up, man. Congratulations.
So, appreciate it. So it's like, I know what I'm capable of. So
yeah. Hell yeah, man. That's fucking awesome, dude. I love when I hear like people that we bring on, like, yeah, I just hit 20K, or, you know, I just got this project and it's booming. Like, because I know as a creator, that's the greatest feeling in the world. When you don't care if they leave bad comments, good comments, like, just the fact that people are listening to what you're putting out is probably like one of the best feelings ever. Right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Especially when people are fucking with it. You're like, fuck yeah, yeah. I did that.
And you got to look at it from, come on now. I was getting about 300 to 400 views on a video. You feel me? Mm-hmm. So it was like, to me, that's like somebody just posting a video on YouTube or posting a video on Instagram, and your original followers just see it and just like the video. That's what mm-hmm. I get out of that. You feel me? So when I see 20K, I'm like, damn. I had these many people listening and this many people. And honestly, the people that was really listening to it, not even from Texas.
I was about to say that. I was literally about to ask you that. Because, like, our podcast is the same way, right? We make mm-hmm. this podcast. Our biggest listening isn't even here in Texas. Even though we always claim, you know, we're the greatest Houston-based podcast. Like, our biggest listening is New York and California. Fucking wild.
Yeah, mine is New York, California, and Chicago.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man. It's like New York really fucks up the South as a little.
Nah, yeah.
Wow, that's
something with the South, though, man.
Yeah, and you know, that's so funny that you said that, because I was literally about to ask you, like, where's your biggest following, or do, like, your own people fuck with you as much as you thought they would? Because, like, I can tell you from personal experience, right, when I started this podcast, at first, all the homies were listening to it, and they're like, oh, yeah, like, we love your podcast, this or that. On the fifth episode, it was, like, nobody I knew that listened to the podcast. It was all these people
everybody
from
else. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do you feel the same thing, like, or you see the same thing with your music? Like,
I mean, I ain't gonna lie, because I do got a little fan base out here, so I can't really just say.
Mm-hmm.
But the support that I do get outside of the state is way more than I do from in the state.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't really just say, like, it's not, because my people support me, you feel me? Like, all my people support me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't know, but I just do what I got to do. Like,
yeah.
That's my biggest thing. Like, I'm not going to let nobody that ain't me stop me from doing what I got to do. So regardless if they do support me or not, I really don't pay too much mind to it. I just continue doing my own thing.
That's the best way to do it, man.
Yeah.
You know, fuck all the negative comments. You know, you do you, and it's going to work out. I'm a really big believer of that, man. Like I said, when I started this podcast, we had no idea what we were going to do with it, how it was going to go. It was a completely different show. And, but, you know, we kind of honed our thing. We kept grinding it out. This is our fifth year doing podcasting. So it's like, you just got to keep grinding, man. Don't ever stop. Don't ever let, like, the haters pull you down, because you're going to overstep them sooner than later.
Nah, yeah.
As long as you keep moving forward.
Yeah. That's my biggest thing.
Yeah. So where do you find your motivation to push forward so much? Because you seem like just getting to talk to you right now, you seem really like, I got to do what I got to do. I'm motivated. I got to just keep grinding.
Moving forward. Yeah. So, like, don't get me wrong. Every now and then I get that mentality. You know, every musician probably get it to where it's like you feel like you at a stoppage point when it comes to it. So you kind of like just feel like you don't want the need to do it no more, right? Mm-hmm. But see me, you know, I got a 6-year-old, and she believes in me with my music. Like, she comes to me and be like, "Daddy, I seen your video on TikTok, Daddy. I watch a video on YouTube." Like, you feel me? Like, when she do stuff like that, mm-hmm. and she tell me, it makes me, it gives me the courage and encouragement that I need to want to keep going. And see, I just got a manager maybe like 3 or 2 months ago, right? So I've been doing my music by myself mm-hmm. the whole entire time that I've been doing music. No management, no label, no team, no nothing. So. Mm-hmm. When I finally got asked for someone to become my manager, it kind of like opened my eyes, like, okay, so somebody really believe in me, like I believe in myself. And that's all I really needed for myself is for somebody to show me that they fuck with me like how I fuck with me. You feel mm-hmm. me? And when she told me that, I'm like, okay, I'm down. Like, let's see what you can pull to the table. Yeah. Since then, Rich Homie Quandon reached out to me. You feel me? I end up getting a verse from Doe Beezy and Cowboy. They're both two Chicago legends. What else? I'm actually setting up a label tour as we speak. I should be going in like December or January to New York and Atlanta. So,
hell yeah. Congratulations. Yeah, bro.
Appreciate it, my boy.
That so is like, fucking dope.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Is that when you realize that, you know, you can, like, music is something you want to do and that you can do and, like, do something big with it than what you thought before?
Yeah. Like, I always knew I was you know, meant for greatness. Always.
Mm-hmm.
Because don't nobody bring a sound like how El Barro bring a sound. You feel me? So it's like, when you listen to me, you're going to get a Texas vibe. You're going to get your Mexico vibe. You feel me? And those two vibes into one, that's a lane that not too many people my color could do. So,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So it's like, yeah.
Well, and, so would you say that the town you grew up in really had an influence in shaping how your sound came out?
I sure did. Let me tell you, we originally from Houston. Me and my brother and my sister and them, we're originally from Houston. That's where we was born. We stayed there from when we was kids to about like 4 or 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Then we moved to Kilton. And we was out there for about a year or two. And mm-hmm. then that's when we moved to Richmond.
Okay.
So I'm 7 years old, 6, 7 years old in Richmond, Texas. You know what I'm saying? In the city I don't know nothing about. But that's the city that made me.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? I was 7 years old, and I'm now 28 years old. So I've been here more than half my life. You feel mm-hmm. me? So it definitely made a big impact on who I am, and that's all my music is. My music is stories, chapters of my life, chapters of a book of my life, you know what I'm saying, put mm-hmm. into songs. So I actually had somebody the other day, he tried to tell me, he was like, "Hey, bro, I want to tell you one thing about your music." He was like, "Can I get a song where you don't sugarcoat?" Right? And I'm okay. like, "Bro, if I give you a song where I don't sugarcoat on the song, I'm giving you my whole life story in one song. So what would you be looking forward to if I was to do another song after I told you my whole life story in one song?"
Mm-hmm.
And he said that, he was like, "What you mean?" I'm like, "Bro, look at it if you was reading a Harry Potter book, right? Harry Potter got like, what, 6, 7 books?"
Yeah, I think it's 8.
And they're very large books, right?
Yeah.
Now, just imagine if he would have put all that in one book. You wouldn't going to want to hear the other one because he did all of that in one book. You see mm-hmm. what I'm saying? That's why I, not necessarily saying sugarcoat, but that's why I give you supporting details. Because yeah. when I give you the supporting details and make you want to listen and see what else I got to talk about my life in another song. So you'd be like, "Oh, okay, he said that in here. So I wonder if the next song he make will connect with this one."
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, never be disappointed. So.
Damn, I like the way you put that. That was smart as shit, dude, making the Harry Potter reference. I like that. Hell yeah.
Yeah, man. That's,
you know, I never thought about it that way, but shit. That's a good one.
It's crazy because, like, when you listen to music, bro, a lot of people tell you about themselves and their songs and their music, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm the type where I'm going to do it, but every time I do it, it's going to be a different side of me in the song.
Okay.
So all you will have to do is put them together and be like, "Oh, so it's like a really, yeah."
It's like you're painting a picture one stroke at a time. Each stroke is literally a song. Damn. That's dope as fuck, man. I like the way you think about that. That's fucking fire. I would have never thought about that, but shit. You just blew my mind. Yeah, I don't know if it's because I'm high or...
Nah, man. When you get to know me, bro, you'll know like, that's just me. Like, I'm the type of man where everything I speak on, bro, is like, it's literally, you could like literally put it on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the way I'm speaking and the way I'm saying it, you could see the story as I'm saying it. So, it's like,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
You paint the picture. You paint that beautiful picture. You know, to me, one of the best people to do that was Biggie. You know, a lot of people don't give Biggie his credit for being a lyricist, but the way that dude told a story in a song, like you can play it out all the way. Yeah, that's the way that's my favorite kind of rappers, right? Is the people that can really tell a story and paint the picture. Like Tupac was great at it. Snoop Dogg was great at it. Fucking Wu-Tang Clan made you feel you were in the 36 Chambers. So that's dope. I like that you influence you try to make your music like that. Like I really like that about your music, is that it has a purpose to it. It's not just
I just feel like, especially on our side of town, bro, we have a lot of musicians and a lot of artists.
A lot.
But you can't find too many of them that has a unique type of vibe with their music. Like, mm-hmm. everyone that you listen to, they all sound the same. And it's like me, most people, if you don't know me, in my music, you will know me. That's why when everybody asks, like, especially when I perform, I always tell people, if you don't know, well, you finna know. Because once you listen to my music gonna tell it for you.
Yeah.
And the outcome of that, nobody is ever disappointed. I even had a woman tell me one day when I performed, she was like, who's one of your biggest influencers in this day of music? And I told her, I said, Lil Durk. Lil Durk is one of my top rappers in the industry today. And she was like, if you could go on stage in a crowd for Lil Durk, do you think you can win them over? I told him, absolutely, yes. Absolutely. Like, no doubt about it. I can win that immediately because I know what they're looking for in music. And they get it from him. And see, I even call myself, I'm the neighborhood prospect. You feel me? He call himself, you know what I'm saying? He say he the voice of the streets. And I'm the neighborhood prospect, you feel me? I ain't made it to The Voice yet because obviously I'm local right now, you feel me? But when I get there, you're going to understand why I call myself the neighborhood prospect, because one day I'm going to be signed and one day they going to know this man came from a long way. Yeah.
Hell yeah. I like that, man. And right now, like, what would you say is your favorite song that you have recorded?
Ooh.
Like, which one's your favorite, man? Because I know you love your music. That's why you make it. You believe in yourself, which is something I really love to hear about an artist, is that you know you're the best. Because in your mind, to make it in this business, you got to be the best.
For sure.
Yeah, so I like that confidence.
Damn, bro. Number one? Man. Number one. Bro, it's hard to choose because I got so many. I'm going to list five.
Right.
My number one that I will put out of my top five will probably be Bandolero.
Bandolero? Okay.
Yeah. Bandolero probably be number one. El Barro probably be number two. Long Gone will be three. I got an unreleased song called By Any Means. That's probably be four. And last night, I just recorded this track called Don't Say. And so far, it's up there.
It's up there?
But really? but number five off rip, it probably have to be between Walk Alone and Out of Love.
Okay. So, okay, damn.
Yeah.
In top five. It's a really good top five. Hell yeah, man. Bro. And why is El Bandolero your favorite one?
Cause, bro, that song's like about my brother that passed away. I don't know if you know Jack Lopez.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my brother. Like, a lot of people don't know, like, from the hood, my mama took care of that boy. So it was like, all he had was his grandma, you feel me? His mom and dad was around, but they couldn't see him. So it was more like only person he really had by his side was his grandma. And she was of age. So some stuff she couldn't do for him that his parents could. So my mama took him under his wing, you feel me? And then he been my brother ever since.
Damn.
And, you know, when he passed away, kind of like, but that really took a toll on me. Like, I stopped doing music for like 4 years.
Shit.
Yeah, bro.
Dude, I'm sorry for your loss. I didn't know you were tight with them like that.
No, yeah, that was my boy. Like,
damn.
It was a group of us, bro. It had to be like at least six, seven of us growing up. Me, you know, Spidey. O'Shea and Space, they come around to like later on till I got to like high school. But these guys, my group of people, you feel me?
Okay.
My two brothers, J-Lo, my boy Pedro, my boy Angel.
Okay.
Yeah, we had, you know what I'm saying? In the hood. Just a bunch of young niggas, you feel me? So.
Yeah. Damn, dude, I'm sorry for your loss. I remember that. That was a sound loss.
Yeah, bro. Appreciate it, my boy. I actually got a song called Sticks and Stones, bro.
Yeah.
And I was like, my angel, that's my brother, and he looking over me. The devil steady lurking. Damn, what the fuck I said? I just know I put him in the song, bro. And like now every time I listen to the song, that's me, you know what I'm saying? Like talking to my brother, like making sure like you got my back at all time, you know what I'm saying? And I know he do. A nigga live with me forever, so.
Yeah, and he will. Yeah. He'll always have your back, man. Shit, that's crazy, bro. That's really crazy.
Yeah, so.
Damn. Dude, that's crazy. I didn't even know that. Like, I'm glad I got to learn that about you. Because I didn't know him very well. I had a few encounters with him, but he was a cool-ass dude every time I
met with him. Yeah, bro. I've seen both sides of my brother. Yeah. Y'all got the good side. I just seen him do some shit to people. Niggas was really scared of him.
Yeah. I mean, you know, everyone got two sides to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just depends what they show the most. I mean, you knew him pretty well, so I'm sure you got to see the genuine side of him.
Yeah, always.
Yeah. So, you said that O'Shea and Spacely didn't come until later. I didn't know that, because I thought y'all all knew each other for a good minute.
Yeah, so how that came about is like, you know, Spidey, right? That's my older brother, right? So,
yeah.
Really, if it wasn't for my brother, bro, I probably wouldn't be the person I am today because of him, because I didn't have a father figure, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And the only person I pretty much learned stuff was from him, even though we're a year apart. His dad would teach him some stuff, and he'll relate a message to me to show me, like, the ways to walk. You feel me? So that's why you can kind of tell me and my brother are, like, two different type of people. Because I roll one way, he roll another way. And it's like, just because I roll this way don't mean that I don't got the knowledge and the game of, you know what I'm saying, the other way. I just move my own way. But, so pretty much in school, my brother, as everybody know, he was quiet. He didn't really say much to nobody, but he was always around. You see what I'm saying? So it's like.
Yeah, he was my homie, man. I used to have PE with him, so that's how I know him.
Yeah, he probably slipping that shit too. Nah, yeah, but I actually met O'Shea when I was in the fifth grade.
Okay.
We did not like each other. Over a game of basketball, though.
It always has to be hoops with O'Shea, man.
Yeah, it was over a game of basketball, you feel me? But him and my brother was real tight.
Yeah.
Not knowing that he was my brother, you know what I'm saying? So when the time came around, we really started getting cool with each other. And, like, me and O'Shea's sister was, like, really best friends growing up from sixth grade to high school. So, it just made us a whole lot closer. And then, how I met Space ended up moving to the hood. You feel me? So, he was always around, but he ended up moving to the hood where I was from. And when he moved there, that's how him, my brother, and I know you know Little Mexico Joey.
Yeah.
He was actually my next door neighbor.
Okay.
That's how I met Space, because through Joey. So when I met Joey, I didn't know that he was a dancer till like a year later of me meeting him. And at the time, I was the best dancer. I didn't know nobody that could dance better than me. You feel me? Okay. And this little Mexican was walking around with a Jabberwocky's mask on, thinking that he was a Jabberwocky. Like, nigga, you not a Jabberwocky, nigga. I'm a way better dancer than you. He proved me wrong in like 10 seconds. Like, I'm like, nah.
He was fuck small. That.
Bro. Yeah. Yeah, bro. Like, he low-key was our secret weapon when it came down to shit, because nobody would expect that coming from a Mexican. Like, you looking at him like, okay, this Mexican just hanging with them. Nah. When we pull that card and bring little Mexico out, y'all fucked up.
He's a sleeper, bro.
Y'all fucked up. I remember we had a battle one day, bro, and at Alameda Mall. Uh-huh. And we had battled this gang, this group called Gold Gang. I'll never forget. And one of my partners was the one dancing, right? And all you could hear is like, boo, this nigga suck. This nigga suck, right? And I'm like, damn, we probably finna lose this bitch. Uh-huh. And we was like, nah, fuck that. And the dude was like, nigga, I put $500 on the table that I could beat y'all, that I could face one of y'all niggas in the group. And any nigga in the group and win.
Yeah.
So we like 500. Oh, nigga, we finna take that shit easily. And see, the one thing that we don't do is we don't pull out the space card and we don't pull out the O'Shea card, because them two cards right there is like inevitable. Like, y'all will not beat neither one of them. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna pull out the Mexican card to see if y'all think that y'all gonna, man, they swear to God that they thought they was gonna win. But when my Mexican came out there, literally battled dude, he made the dude quit in the middle of his dance.
Oh, damn.
And the dude walked up to Mexico and shook his hand, like, nah, bro, you got it. Get him a 500, and we won. You feel me? So it was like, yeah, damn, man. Anyways, long story short, I end up meeting Space through Mexico. We went to his side of the apartments, uh-huh. And I want to say it was like a duo battle. I can't say who's on my team, but I know Space and Mexico was on the same team.
Okay.
So I knew off rip that I'm like, bro, we dry doing this because these niggas finna kill us. And this nigga did some shit, bro, right? I don't know if that nigga walked by, grabbed some sand, put some sand in his pocket, and kept it in his pocket for like the battle. And he kind of like did like a little heart thing, took my heart out, started bumping my heart,
uh-huh.
Ate it, right? And he started like he was finna throw up, right? Turned around, came back. And dust just came out of nowhere, bro. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, nigga, where the fuck did that shit come from? And ever since then, bro, me, Space, Joey, and I think this was right around the time my bro had just started dancing. Cause my brother wasn't a dancer. He couldn't dance for shit. You feel me? So I think this was just around the time he started dancing, and they made the group Bebe. Remind you, I wasn't a part of Bebe when it first started.
Okay.
So I had to come like probably about a year later. And after that happened, we became a family. Like, it was like an everyday thing with us. I'm talking about ain't nobody had no jobs then. We was at least like 13, 14, 15 years old. You feel me? Every day, no cars. Walking from Little Caesars back home. Walking to Dairy Queen back home. Walking to Papa Mix back home. You feel me? Like, this was like an everyday thing. Like, we would do this nonstop. You know what I'm saying? If I had $5 in my pocket, my brother had $5 in his pocket, go to Little Caesars, buy 2 boxes of pizza, and share it with the whole gang. You feel me? Like, that's just the shit that we was doing. So it was like, we was building rapport and building a family. At the same time, we was building a legacy.
Yeah.
You feel me? And you see now, still to this day, like,
I'm still tight.
It's a bond, bro. You feel me? So, yeah, bro. And that's how that became.
Okay. Yeah. Like I said, I remember them because I went to school with them. I was friends with your brother. I was friends with Spacely. I was really good friends with O'Shea. O'Shea was, so I moved to Texas when I was 13 from California.
Okay. And
O'Shea was one of the first people I ever met. Simply because I would go to the Y and play basketball. I love basketball. And I was always the big, you know, Mexican center. I wasn't the best. I had a good fadeaway, and I played dirty defense. So everyone wanted me on their team because I'd rack up boards and just, you know, pull assists and whatnot. So that's how I met O'Shea. And then O'Shea introduced me to Spacely. I met your brother in PE playing basketball. So, like, I've known all them, and I knew that they've been tight for a while. So that's pretty cool to get your side of the story and, like, how you got into that. Because I didn't know that at all. Yeah. I said, I used to hoop with them all the time.
See, actually, me and O'Shea actually played AU basketball together.
Okay.
Yeah, but this was further down the line. Like, when I think he was staying with me at the time. Mm-hmm. And I had reached out to a coach, and she was like, we starting an AU basketball team, and we would like for you and O'Shea to try out. Mm-hmm. So we went. And me and O'Shea was the point guards of the basketball team. Me, him, and we had a dude named Alfredo and a dude named Didi.
Mm-hmm.
And we basically ran that basketball team. It was called the Total Package Elite Team.
Nice.
Yeah. That's how I knew me and O'Shea was going to be real close. Because the first time I met him, it was on the basketball court. And it was like, you not better than me. He was better than me.
Yeah.
But I'm going to let him know that he was better than me.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so. That's my bro. That's him right there. Every time I call, he answer.
Yeah.
No doubt. Like,
totally good, man. I love O'Shea. I said, he was one of the first friends I made. I've known him since I was 13. I'm 29 now. So I've known him for a good minute, man. He's always been a solid ass dude. Super cool, super friendly.
When you
play basketball with
him. Whenever you talk to him, ask him what is his favorite go-to meal when he don't, his favorite struggling go-to meal.
Okay. I'll ask him.
He gonna tell you beanies and weenies. But just keep that in your head. Like, I'm telling you, he'll tell you beanies and weenies. So when you ask him that, that's what he's going to tell you, bro. All
right. I'm just, I'm going to write that down. That way, when I see him, I can ask him. That's pretty funny. Yeah, man. Actually, he's a cool ass dude. So now y'all do the Opinionated Podcast.
It's for sure.
You, your brother. It started with O'Shea, with Josh TV. Fred, is he going by Hollywood now?
Dwayne Hollywood, yeah.
Dwayne Hollywood, yeah. Spacely. Who else am I missing? No, I'm missing one guy.
Is that? But he not on the show no more.
Yeah. So y'all started that show. Y'all have been doing it for a good minute now. I recently did a couple episodes on Will Smith and Jada Smith and all that. How did that idea of y'all doing that podcast come together?
Like creating a podcast or just that episode?
Creating the podcast.
Initially, I wasn't a part of the conversation, you know, but my brother, he's the type where it's like, if I'm doing it, they gonna do it with me.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? And 10 out of 10, I'm gonna do it just because my brother, you know what I'm saying? He's doing it. Like,
yeah.
I got his backbone forever. Like, so it was like, I didn't mind doing it. And I'm doing it with a bunch of guys that I grew up with. Oh yeah, this is gonna be fun and real easy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because we all alike, but we all different in our own ways. So,
should JP be crazy on it?
But you know, like, one thing I can say about my brother is he may not talk a lot, and he may be, like, I don't want to say weird, but he may be unique in his own way to other folks. Mm-hmm. But one thing about my brother know his knowledge.
Yeah.
So it's like, once he gets to talking, everybody else in the room shut up because you're going to want to listen to what he got to say because he be speaking that shit. So.
Yeah, I had him on the show last time and I forgot what we got into, but man, he was dropping knowledge left and right. And I was like, oh shit, I wasn't expecting it. I should have, but I wasn't.
That man there, bro. I'm like, bro, when the fuck did you learn all this shit?
But like, so... y'all started this and like, what has been the process for you? Like, how do you feel about it? Do you feel like it's helped you with your music? Do you feel like it's just helped you build a bond with your homies or how do you like podcasting?
To be real, in 2019, I got locked up for some shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I did some time. And when I got out, I kind of like, institutionalized? Is that the word I'm looking for? Basically, like, I like block myself from the world.
Okay. Internal. You feel me?
Yeah. So it was like, when all of that was happening, the last thing I was worried about was like, showing my face, dropping music, you know what I'm saying, and being in public. Those three things was like the hardest things for me to do. Dropping music wasn't really that hard, but like showing my face as I was dropping music was hard.
Yeah.
So it kind of like, I took a couple steps back. And even now, it's still kind of hard for me. Like even when I go to my shows, I'm the one that's quiet now. You know, like... everybody around me gives good energy, but I can't let out my energy because I'm so in, you know, so antisocial now.
Introverted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's helping me gain my momentum back, if that makes sense. Okay. Like, it's being there with them, it's making me more comfortable with showing my face. Like, as you can see, like, if you watch the episodes, you could tell, like, I go into a mode to where it's like, I don't say nothing for a while, I just sit there. But that's why I do that, because it's like, I'm still trying to, like, process it, still trying to, like, gain my momentum back from when I was institutionalized. So it's like, yeah, man. So far, everything is good. I was actually telling somebody about that yesterday. Like, it's a lot of stuff that I went through. It made me like really like fall back on all this stuff and like trying to like network and put my face in front of people. Now it's starting to get a lot more easier because it's a lot more that I'm doing to where I have to do it. So it's not like a, if you want to come do the, no, I need you to come here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. These people are here. I need you to be here. I need you. So when I hear that, okay, now I know I got to be there. So when I'm there, I can't sit back in the shadows. Yeah. You feel me? That's why I don't ever heard the song In the Shadows when I was like, I was stuck up in the shadows, drowned down. I need a power. That's what that song was made for.
Okay.
You feel me? So, yeah.
Shit, I'm going to have to go re-listen to it. Knowing this now, like, I go back and re-listen to it, dissect it again. Shit. So do you feel like podcasting and like just doing what you're doing now is helping you kind of heal that trauma? And
nah, for like, sure.
And be able to take that step forward and flip that page?
Nah, for sure. And it's crazy because since I was a kid, I always lived by one code. Mm-hmm. And you ever seen that movie Meet the Robinsons?
Yeah.
And you know when he was like, no matter what goes on, keep moving forward?
Yeah.
I used to go by that motto a whole lot. Mm-hmm. But then when I got out, it kind of just like, oh, bro, like.
It's hard.
Yeah. It's not something that's easily done, if that makes sense.
That's good, though, that you're still trying to push forward and move past that. Because I know I've never been locked up before, but I've gone through some shit. Like, I don't think I've told this to a lot of people, but when I was in high school, like, my parents lost everything. They lost their house. You know, we were out on the street for a little while. Like, we were pretty much squatting in the house we were in because my parents were no longer able to pay it. Some days we had light. Some days we had water. Some days we didn't have either. There was a few times, like, I went to school hella early just to be able to jump in the shower in the locker room. And, like, I know it's not the same thing, but I understand how things like that make
you... will affect you in life.
Make you turn, like, put a shell around yourself.
Nah, yeah.
And it's really hard to break through that because, I mean, you leave with depression, you leave with traumas, you leave with all these things. And I know it's the hardest part is to be able to flip that page and just, like, try to move forward. But honestly, from my experience, I learned the best thing was to just have great people around you that support you.
And see, that's the thing when it comes to like serious situations like that, because you're gonna always need somebody to lean on. You feel me? Like, because yeah, you could do it yourself, but it's harder to do it yourself when you're the one that's going through it. You feel me? And when somebody that you got around you understand your situation and is there with you with a positive vibe, ain't no taking that away from them. You feel me? Like, they there because they want to be. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people, you know, in this life nowadays, you know what I'm saying? Everybody wants something that's going to benefit them. Yeah. But when you find somebody that's there for you, genuine, and like there for your soul, it's a different type of feeling. You feel me? And that's why I'm glad I got the people that I got in my life, because if I didn't, bro, I don't know where I would be. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm still, you know what I'm saying, a rock in the shell. Mm-hmm. You feel me? But the people that I got with me, they understand that.
Yeah.
You feel me? So, yeah, sometimes I may need my space to where I can walk, cope and, you know what I'm saying, and grieve myself. But as long as I know that you by my side, ain't no reason for me sitting up here stressing. You know what I'm saying? Me sitting up here being so depressed by it. Because depression, that's a real thing. You feel me? I used to think depression was just a state of mind. Nah, that's a real thing. You feel me?
Yeah.
That, so it's like,
one thing I've learned in life, man, depression and addiction are the realest fucking things. You know, I don't know if you know this, but 80% of suicides are men.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They get depressed and they don't know how to break their shell to talk to people. So, like, it's a real fucking thing that, you know, there's statistics about it. It's just crazy. But for sure, depression, addiction, two realest things that any man or any person will ever go to. You know, I had substance abuse issues, alcoholism abuse issues. It was just, it's crazy, man, the shit you go through. And it's crazy that depression usually leads to all these things, you know?
So.
Yeah. Well, shit, man. Let's not get too depressing here.
We're about
an hour. So what I like to do is I always like to do a little bit of rapid fire questions towards the end of the show, just to give the fans a little more insight on who you are. All right. So if you don't mind, we're about to start. First question I got rapid fire is hot or cold?
Hot.
Hot. Okay. Chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate.
All right, fast or slow?
Slow.
Oh, okay. What's your favorite position in anything in life?
My favorite position. The goat.
There you go.
Gonna put that whole light right here or something. The goat.
There, hell yeah! I'll make sure we add it on there.
Yeah.
Neon colors.
Yeah.
Hell yeah! All right, fill in the blank. My name's Byro, and I'm
the greatest of all time.
There you go. All right, man. Well, I appreciate you for coming on.
Nah, for sure.
It's been lots of fun. It's been great getting to know you, man. Thank you again for coming on. I can't wait to have you on again. But at this point of the show, I usually like to give our guests a chance to shout themselves out, you know, tell everybody where they can find you, talk about your newest projects. This time's yours, bro.
All right, man, you know what the fuck going on. Byron Bandana checking in, a.k.a. El Byro. You know what the fuck going on. You can follow me on all platforms. You feel me? All social platforms. Follow me at @6G_Byron Bandana. Follow me on Facebook, Byron Bandana. You can follow my music. Go to Apple Music, Spotify, Audio Max, Spinrilla, all that good shit. Byron Bandana. You feel me? Follow me on YouTube, Byron Bandana as well. Go check out my album that I got out right now, Heart of Fire. Go check out the other one, the New Beginning, Deluxe version. I'm actually working on 2 EPs as we speak. They're pretty much done, just picking out the songs that I want on them. Just keep checking in with me, man. Got a whole bunch of shows coming up at the end of the year. I got one on the 25th of November.
Hell yeah. Where at?
In Stafford at Legends Grill.
Okay.
Yeah, man. Just keep checking in with me. Actually, I'm an ambassador of Berber Stide. It's a clothing line. That my boy actually created. Yeah, man. I'm tapped in, man. You feel me? If you don't know, go check out Spidey Weber. That's my brother. Need any camera work, man, go get you, you feel me? Come get the whole package, get your video, get your verse for me, you feel me? $125 for a feature, $75 for a verse, $50 for a hook, you know. Man, just a whole bunch of bandana shit going on, man. You know?
Hell yeah, man. Awesome. I'm excited to see you perform. Keep me up to date. Send me the link to get some tickets for the day you're going to have your show. Thank you for coming on again.
Yes,
every guest we have on, I always tell them, when you come on this show, we like to, you know, end this show feeling like we're friends, like we're family. So welcome to the Week in the D family, the D fam. And if you got anything you want to promote, anytime you need help, you know, pushing something, just let us know, tag us on it. We'll share it on our social medias. Everyone knows they can follow us at the Weekly D Pod on all social medias. And again, dude, thank you so much. This has been a pleasure. It's been fun. Make sure you send me your t-shirt and your address. That way I can send you the t-shirt package. Thank you again. Go check out El Byro. Go listen to his music. Go check out the Opinionated Podcast. Thank you guys for listening. This has been the Weekly D Podcast. I'm Danny G. That's Obiro. This has been the Weekly D Podcast number 175. Thank y'all for listening. And if you like what you heard, give us a thumbs up, 5-star review. And remember, if you can't get it daily, get it weekly. Peace.
Peace.